Claire Rogers, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've taken over the position of CEO from Reverend Tim Costello. An interesting changing of the guard from a clergyman to an expert in digital banking. Obviously, you must have other skills and passions that you bring to your new role.
Yes, thank you. It's a great question. Tim has led the organisation for the last 13 years, and my observation of World Vision is that it has been an organisation that has explored innovative ways of delivering aid and sustainable aid into communities around the world in 96 countries. But the big change that the board has asked me to look at and to bring to the organisation is the change that's going on in our supporter base, the desire to be closer to the work and to have a really good sense of the impact that donors are making by contributing to World Vision. And digital is a very powerful instrument and tool in that change.
You've come to the position of CEO of World Vision at a time when the federal government has cut the foreign aid budget. Do these cuts impact on your work, especially, say, in the countries of the African continent?
We enjoy a very good relationship with DFAT and have some very significant programs. We have a majority of the programs working in the near region, if you like, Southeast Asia, although there are a number of programs in other parts of the world that we do with the Australian government. Obviously, the cuts to aid are a concern for us, and this is a concern globally as we watch political governments changing. We are concerned that government's role in helping nations that need more support as they deal with issues of poverty, that would be reducing. And so we'll be watching that closely and playing an advocacy role where appropriate.
Now, on your campaign to eliminate violence against women, one in three Australian women will experience domestic violence, but the rates, as one of your media releases say, are higher in the Asia-Pacific region. And let's look at Australia first. 33% of women experiencing domestic violence is very high, isn't it?
Yes, it is absolutely very high. That's over a lifetime. I think the statistics in the Asian countries are actually more frequent. So while the number looks very similar, the frequency is much, much higher. But what I do know is in the Solomon Islands and countries in the Pacific, it's often driven from a faith perspective where, so if you take the Solomon Islands, there's 90% would say they're Christian, and it's based from a misperception or a particular reading of the Bible, and that has allowed men to perpetuate violence against women without, a good understanding of the values. And so we've been doing a new program called Channels of Hope for Gender, and it's really very exciting because the faith leaders we're training the faith leaders and then they're working with their communities, and both men and women are changing their attitudes and are increasingly having a sense of hope for the future, that for a life without violence.
I'm Sam Warne. I can just see it as a massive task, trying to change the mindset of men, not just in the Solomon Islands, not just in Papua New Guinea or Vanuatu or Fiji or Tonga, but in Samoa as well. Men who've grown up with the idea of male superiority, not only reinforced by culture that has status and rank, but also in some cases by a brand of Christianity that reinforces the idea that men are superior to women. How does that change? Where you say you're dealing with or you're working with faith leaders. How do you change that mindset?
The programs themselves are training programs. Essentially, we're bringing the leaders in, taking them through those particular passages of the Bible in the Christian countries and the Quran in Muslim countries, and really exploring the text and demonstrating that that actually is not what those religious texts are advocating. That has led to tremendous change. It's a community-based program, so I hear you on it's a massive task, but there's only really one place to start for real change, and that's down at the level where the violence is actually happening. Globally, though, I think as a community of people that want to see violence reduced against women and children, there is much to do, and I think there's a big role that governments can play as well in the education and advocacy and aid to really accelerate this change, because this is largely a neglected area of aid.
The Indigenous communities of Australia, how prevalent is domestic violence in those communities, and are there any programs that World Vision is doing with them?
We are running a number of leadership programs with youth in New South Wales and Victoria and in Western Australia as well, around values and encouraging youth to step up as community leaders and set new standards for values and engaging in their communities.
You've also got another program called ETIP, End Trafficking in Persons. Tell us something about that.
Yes, trafficking is another form of violence and often leads to domestic violence as well. But trafficking is a very significant issue across the globe. Our ETIP program ran in ending trafficking program has been running in Myanmar, and recently I had the opportunity to meet a woman who World Vision had been able to support, who had escaped a forced and brutal marriage in China. So it's terrific to see these women being able to get support when they return from these situations. Sometimes we're involved in helping them get out of the situations and then enabling them to have accommodation and to begin to take up a trade or something to enable them to earn an income. The most transformative thing for me in that in meeting that lady was her strength and her ability to have hope because of the work that we'd been able to do with her. And prior to that time, she had really experienced no hope and not known who to trust.
Let's just finally go back to domestic violence in the Pacific. Some of these figures from the Solomon Islands are quite shocking, actually. 38% of women report their first sexual experience was forced. 63% of men believe it's acceptable to hit women in certain circumstances. 2 out of 3 women have experienced physical violence from an intimate partner. What hope is there for the women of the Solomon Islands in your programs? And how can the rest of the community assist you in carrying out these programs to try and stop violence against women in the Solomon Islands and other countries in the region?
Oh, thank you very much for that question. Yes, it is a significant, a huge issue, a huge personal issue for those communities. Since we started the programs 3 years ago in the Solomon Islands, the number of women in Honiara, for example, who thought that women shouldn't make decisions, had dropped from 34 to just 4%. So there is attitudinal change, and we're also seeing a shift in the attitude of many men. So there was more support for women being able to accuse their husband of rape. That rose as well. So we are seeing the values change and the understanding of treating women with respect change. So if there are people who would like to invest in this really significant work, there are details on worldvision.com.au.
Claire Rogers, thank you so much for talking to us about your work, and congratulations on your new position as CEO of World Vision.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.